Well, first of all, I wanted to say thank you to everybody again for, hi, Hannah, for your prayers and for your love and for your support. We felt it. I've gone on many, many mission trips, and certain things, there's kind of a vibe with certain teams and how kind of people jive together and serve together. And when you get two personalities together that differ, it can be interesting. But we had 13, and we kept calling each other the dream team. I could say as a leader, they were kind of a dream team. They went along with the flow. They dealt with the hurry up and wait. They dealt with the changes and schedules. And it can be an adjustment when you're in another country. You start thinking you can speak Spanish and you start thinking people who are speaking English are actually speaking Spanish. And it can get kind of confusing. But our team were just a bunch of troopers, and I love them so much. And we had, like, each person could have been the MVP for different times. Everybody stepped up, and I think that God just blessed us. And I know that a big reason for that is because we had people praying for us. And so I thank you for your faithfulness to think of us and pray for us and love us and support us when we go on these trips. Like I said before we left, we go as an extension of you. We go as the hands and feet of Jesus, but we carry you guys in our hearts when we go down there and do this stuff, and we seek to honor you and represent you well as representing the Lord. I want us to hear from some of our team members, and I know that they're super nervous, and I am not going to just point at them and call them up here, even though I know that's what sometimes it takes for them to actually come up here. But I'm going to trust that God is moving in their hearts. I'm going to give them some time, because I've been on mission trips a lot. I've been to Haiti. I've been to Mexico. I've done this a lot of times. And we had a lot of new people on our trip this year. And I think that it will be fun to hear kind of their perspective. And new, like, in the last few years. Maybe this is the first or second or third time. And it's the trip is different every time. We go down there and the locations are very familiar. But they're new experiences every time. And God is growing us and growing them and moving. And it's just fantastic. Well, I worked on a slideshow to share pictures with you guys because I love you and I know that's fun. And we took some fun little videos while we were on the trip. And I was so excited to share that with you, but the struggle is real. And I am a struggler. And technology is not my best friend. And last night at about 11:30, I was going to, in Jesus' name, chuck the laptop across the room. And I would probably have not felt bad about it. I was having a hard time because, you know, when you pick the perfect songs to go with your cute pictures and it works one place, but then when you try to get it to work another place, it doesn't work. That was my reality. And there's probably half of you or more that would have been able to figure this out, but I didn't know that at the time. And so I have prepared some pictures. I had to remove a bunch of videos. You're going to see some things that look a little wonky, some sideways stuff. Just have grace, okay? Just thank you in advance for your grace. I have Jess in the back, and she has pulled up a YouTube song because for some reason my music doesn't line up. So you're gonna hear one song. If things aren't perfectly in step, you know why. It's all me. And then another song's going to play, and it may or may not fit. Let it bless you and minister to you. In Jesus' name. So I think we'll start off with our video, and then we'll share a little bit. We had a fantastic trip. I love looking at those memories. I'll be honest that after watching that video so many times and having so many technical difficulties, I started to resent the songs a little bit and had to check my heart. But God is good, and he's kind, and he knows how I am. So I'll just share a little bit. We had 7 full outreach days in Mexico. One of those days, the feeding center day. And so we just showed up to support the feeding centers. Every Saturday across all of the locations, they have a feeding center. So faithful women, and usually women, show up and they prepare a meal and they do a Bible lesson all year long, every Saturday. hundreds and hundreds of children are blessed because of that. And so our part was showing up as support, doing a Bible lesson, doing a skit. Dave did his object lessons, they were fantastic. And then our team purchased the food for those locations that we got to visit. But we had one free day, one church day, which if you're in ministry, you know that's a working day. And one day of rest was our free day. And then we did the Colonia outreach stuff all the rest of the day. So we visited a total of 8 church feeding centers, including the Golden Zone, which is where the main church is. And for those of you who don't know, we worked with a church called Lavinia in it's a branch of the Vineyard churches that are in the United States. A pastor from one of the Vineyard churches went down and started this ministry with others, and it grew and it grew and it grew. So now they have multiple feeding centers and church locations, and Mexican Nationals, the prayer, will take ownership of the locations, and they will pastor the feeding center locations that are church locations. And we saw a marked difference when we went to a feeding center that just had the Saturday feeding versus a feeding center that had a Sunday service and a pastor in leadership and people taking ownership. And it felt different going there, and that what became the prayer, that that kind of thing would spread all over these locations. I will just give you some statistics here. We did about, through the course of the week, 240, and some of the team members can check those numbers, but these are the general numbers, 240 food bags we prepared. And we would go to a Sam's Club, and we would go buy all of the supplies, and then we would bring them out and divvy them up into bags. And there were things like flour for tortillas, rice, tomato sauce, oil, noodles, and those kinds of things, just grocery items. We would put those in bags, load up 150 or so into the back of a van, go to a Colonia location, and we would invite people to come, and we would go around doing handing out tickets so people could come. And we only had a certain amount of food bags and a certain amount of tickets, and so we had to be intentional, only give them to the women or the men that we could tell were in charge of a household. And so this is always my favorite part of the trip, is when the team gets to go around and do the inviting or handing out of tickets. The first day was so powerful. We were able to go and go door to door, and we took a lot of time to pray for the people. And they are hungry for that. They know that the Lord is powerful, and they want his intervention, and they want his hand on their lives. And they, more than not, they welcomed the prayer. And something that's really humbling is that they also welcome us into their homes to pray for them. We come to the door, we knock on, if there's a door, there's usually not. It's usually some sort of a glorified fort, if you can picture that. It's a glorified fort. It's not, I couldn't even say it's a shed. Half the time, these are like one wall is made up of, maybe they have a brick wall and some wood on the top and what have you, but man, a gentle wind could knock half their walls down. And they jerry-rigged the situation together, and it's quite amazing. But they're dirt floors, and man, these women so humbly invited us into their homes to come in and to pray. I think, like, man, if this was my mother, if the house is not like the way that she wants it to be, don't try to knock on the door. We love you, but you're not welcome. And then you have a heart like this that is so thankful and so loving and so welcoming. And we would go in and we would pray for these needs that were heavy. And there were countless women who were grandmothers, who were raising their grandchildren, whose children were addicted to drugs. And every time they would come to the house, they would just steal and take from them. And then the grandmas are left raising these children, and they have nothing. And this woman, Ash and I were in a group, and we went to this woman's house, and she was so sweet, and she let us in, and she was so thankful and proud of her house because the government had given a little assistance and like put some plywood on the roof or something. And it was just crazy. But prayer request after prayer request were real needs. And we went and we prayed for as many as we could, as many as who wanted it. We gave opportunity for that. We prepared 650, give or take, hot meals of either hamburgers or hot dogs. And it would come with a variety of side things. We did hamburgers up at the city dump. And that's always an experience. It's a weird thing to go to a landfill that has actual garbage. I was always thinking when we would come back from Mexico, man, I wish they could go to our landfill. Like, I wish they could go to our garbage dump. They would find some treasure. Think of the stuff that we throw away. And think of how stupid that thought is. But that's the thing that crossed my mind. Like, man, they would strike gold here. They are going through garbage. I mean, I'm just going to say, in Mexico, more places than not, you do not flush your toilet paper. Your toilet paper goes to the city dump. And then you have teenagers, pregnant women, men, all the like, scrounging through this garbage to find something that they can recycle. And then they line up when we show up, and they come through with their hands, and they're just covered in it, and in the garbage and the whatever, and they're wanting food, and they're so thankful, and they take their hats off, and they wait in line, and they're humble, it's a crazy thing. But what a blessing to be able to go and at least for that day give them a hot meal. And I mean, it's humbling. And but for the grace of God, we're not in those situations. And for a lot of the people that are working at the city dump, it's just like a job. Like, some of them, their parents, that's all their parents ever did. And that's what they aspire to do and aspire to be, and find things that they can recycle so they can get a little money for it. And so God is working, and he is using all manner of things. Some of those people were brothers and sisters in Christ. And you think, well, how could a loving God, right? Why does he bless my life the way he blesses my life, and then these people who he loves just as much are in this situation? I mean, we had some stuff to process going on a mission trip like this. Like I said, we prayed with as many people as wanted it. We offered it to people, and we played with countless kids. You saw pictures. The girls would bust out fingernail polish, and I just want to say, before I invite the team up to kind of share a little testimony, Jose, wave your arm back there, Jose. Jose and his wife, Donna Lisa, my beloved friends, they were on the trip. They were able to go this year. They were able to go on the last trip. But Jose, on this trip in particular, was utilized probably more than he ever had been. He speaks Spanish, and he translated almost every single place that we went. And, I mean, he had to translate things. Like, Dave had a sermon or two that Jose translated. He translated almost every testimony for every team member. Can you imagine? And it's not an easy task, but he did it. And then he filled in between, and was really amazing. And I wanted to make mention of that. And he also drove the van for us, which was hugely convenient. We got to take the van back to the hotel a lot of the times and then go to the locations. And he's an old pro now. So we really appreciated that. And but now I would ask that some of our team members come up and give some testimony about the trip. I don't need to tell you specifically what to say, obviously. If you had a highlight, if you had some way that it impacted you that you would like to share, there are people sitting in this congregation who may or may not sign up for a trip based on what you say. No, just kidding. I'm just kidding. They're like, who's in charge? We can't do that. That's not safe. Okay, so who wants to go first? Just be bold. I'm going to volunteer you to come up here if you don't. Oh, girlfriend. This is Ashley Alley, my lifer friend from elementary school.
Thanks for knocking me out. So I wasn't prepared to speak, so forgive me if I ramble.
They can understand you in your language.
I know, it's so nice. That was a struggle for me because I like to talk, so it really bothered me that I couldn't just walk up to somebody and have a full conversation, and I want to know all the details, so it was hard. And it was so cute. There was this little girl that glommed onto me at one of the Colonias for some reason. Her name was also Ashley, and she was also very upset that she couldn't talk to me. So she told me she was going to work on her English this year. I'm going to work on my Spanish. We're going to reconvene next year. But I have several thoughts. One, I'm a control freak, like a complete control freak. That's not shocking to my mom. And I like to fix things. So I had to really work on that part. That was hard for me. Like, for example, we're painting, right? And this church has been painted probably 29 times, all various colors. And it's bubbled and it's cracked. And my OCD is killing me. And yeah, we scrubbed a little bit with like some sandpaper, but you got one piece of sandpaper for like this whole building, and it was done. You were basically just rubbing it with like a paper towel after a while. And you would paint and it would peel off, and I was just like, oh my gosh, I can't handle this. Like, so, but that's Mexico, and like you just have to roll with it. And I had to like tuck away the, I'm Ashley and I'm a control freak and type A and I'm gonna fix everything, and just like, God. And walking away, you know, you would meet a kid and just have such a attachment to them. And then just to realize that you're not going to see them again. I mean, maybe next year when I go, if I'm blessed enough to go again, I will see them again. But to just have to walk away and know that God's got it under control and that maybe I'll see them, maybe I won't. I did decide to, and I wanted to mention this as my little plug. I know everybody probably donates to their causes and to the church, and you know, your money is your business. But I would say that you said, you know, there was a marked difference between some of the colonias that were more established. I felt like there was also a marked difference between kids who were sponsored and kids who were not. $15 a month to sponsor a kid. They get a new pair of shoes a year, they get school supplies, but more importantly, they get individualized prayer every week, they get a hot meal every week, they're plugged into a church, and I think that's huge, that, you know, for $15 a month, they're able to do that. And the little girl, Maria Fernanda, she was the girl in the picture that had the yellow balloon with the smiley face next to her. I was so excited. I got on when we got home to do sponsor, and you get to go through their pictures, and I was like, oh, I wonder if there'll be anyone in here that I recognize, and she was in there, so I got to sponsor her, and I'm so excited, because she was just like the sweetest little spirit. And you know, kids, you don't really have to speak their language. I mean, it's convenient, but for little kids, like, if you poke them in the side and they giggle, like, then you're friends, and that's really, it's like that, it's that easy. And like, they'll come over and like yard you. We had this one little girl who was like obviously the boss of the whole colony, and she's like 5. Like when she told me that she wanted to get on my back, like that, it wasn't a question. It was like, I need a ride and you're gonna do it now. And I loved that about the kids. I jump roped for the first time in probably 20 years. I'm still not good at it, but I did it because she told me to. So that was the biggest blessing to me, was getting to play with the kids. It didn't matter. We didn't speak the same language. We played. You know, they felt our love. We felt their love. It was awesome. So if anybody is interested in that, or you've, you know, felt that on your heart lately to maybe sponsor a kiddo or you know, whatever. If you go to Lavinia Ministries, it's easy to find. It's easy to sponsor. $15 a month, which I can think of like, you know, 3 less Starbucks coffees, and that's $15 a month. So that's my plug. I think that's, does anybody else want to talk? You know, this also happened when we did our ministries, or when we did our testimonies, nobody would volunteer. And I was the first one that volunteered. So I think I should get to pick the next one.
I think Avery's ready.
Oh,
let's see how this goes. So like Ashley, I was also not prepared to say anything in specific, so.
I love that because I totally told them.
That's true.
I'm going to mention that just for the record.
So this was my first trip, so it was a really great experience. I really enjoyed the whole experience of getting to meet these people who, even though you can't speak their language, they can still communicate with you, and you can understand what they're trying to say and their the place that they're in. It's really interesting to see how much you can understand without actually hearing and understanding their words. So it was a really great trip. I really enjoyed the painting, the whole building and all that. Obviously, I got handprints all over me. Don't know where those came from. So it was just a great trip. I learned a lot. I got to do a lot. I helped people. I got to be helped understand that there's so much more outside of this little small place in the whole United States. There's a whole world of people out there. So, it was amazing. So. All right. I need another person because I can't just stand here. All right. Brittany. There we go.
Well, first of all, I love being back at Dayspring. The poles are gone, and it's kind of weirding me out, but it looks good. This was my second year going to Mexico. I think, well, both years were amazing, but one thing this year that impacted me a lot was I got to build relationships with the team members a lot more than I did last year, and just kind of like develop new friendships and have a lot of fun. And also, last year I was really timid and I didn't like want to talk to people or pray with people or like go out of my comfort zone too much. And this year I was like, I'm just going to do it. And I think my favorite day was probably the first day Jose was translating, like he did the whole trip. And but I was lucky enough to be in his group for prayer. And so we got to walk around and pray for people. And I felt the Lord there when we prayed, and I felt the Holy Spirit there with those people. And it's rare that I pray for somebody, and just like that's sad that in my normal life I don't think to ask people for prayer and, you know, how can I help you or how can I support you, you know. And that's how the whole trip was, you know. That's how your whole life is while you're there, is you're just loving people, and that's constantly on your mind is how can I love you and how can I bless you. And it's just a different atmosphere, and it's amazing. And I loved it, and I loved every second of it. And it was also really cool to be able to recognize some of the little kiddos from last year and see their smiles again. And it's great when you go back and they remember you. So you'll have to go back, Ashley. So yeah, I just loved every minute of it. So. Amber, Madison. Not calling on you because you're my family, but I'm calling on you because you're my family. We're cousins, if you don't know. Or Brian. Yeah, I see you back there.
So I'm Madison. This is my third trip, and I always love every minute of every trip. And for me, I like the trip so much because I really like just being able to pour into other people. And I'd say my favorite time is when I get to like play with the kids and stuff, because well, I'm studying Spanish right now, so like every year it's really cool for me to like see my progress and be able to understand the kids more and more. And this year I really connected with some of the kids, and for one colonial we were there for like almost all day long, and like there was like three kids. It was like an entire evening, and like I played like tag and jump rope and like other things with like the same kids for like 4 hours, and like by the end of it, like we were all sad to see each other leave. And like I also recognized them from the year before, and it's just really exciting to see how they've grown, and every year be able to see that they are all growing, and that I it's just really encouraging to me to see them growing in their faith and as people.
Hola, buenos días. Ah, just kidding. Well, it was an amazing trip. I have to say that this time around, for me, this is my second time going, and for me, it was very, very impactful. I really felt the Holy Spirit working in my heart, not only with me, but with the group. A couple things that I'd like to share with you guys is translating. That's just natural. I grew up speaking the language, so it's very easy. But knowing that I can help other people in doing so, that was a bonus, especially in a country where all you speak is Spanish. So I was very, very pleased to do that, and I will do it again and again and again. I have to be honest, though. The first time I went, I just felt like it was chore after chore. I felt like it was chores, that we were doing chores, that we were just kind of going out there, marking things off, and we're done. I didn't really feel much coming back. I didn't feel any impact. And we were at a point in our life with my wife and my family where the Lord was present in our lives day by day. And I felt like I was in a good spiritual place. But going to this trip, I didn't really feel like I made a difference, or I didn't feel any different at all coming back. Fast forward. Now that my family, or I should say my marital situation wasn't very good. We were struggling a little bit, trying to get along and whatnot. I felt like this trip was just like an awakening, not only within my marriage, but also within my children. I got a chance to speak with the head pastor there. What's his name? Fred, yes, Pastor Fred. And he was telling me about, in my mind, I always thought, what's the purpose of this, right? Obviously, we're there to serve. We're there to love on people. We're there to minister and show with our actions the love of God. So something that really stuck to me was when he told me about something called 414. And I asked him about it. And he said, why don't you Google it? I said, no, why don't you tell me about it? Tell me about it. So he was telling me that within this ministry, for children within the age of 4 and 14, that's the window for somebody to reach their hearts about the love of Christ. And he was telling me that nowadays, that gap is closing and it's getting shorter because of all the stuff that's going on the internet, YouTube, and all this other stuff. So now from 14, he's saying that it's at the age of 11 or 12, it's getting really hard for them to reach children. So that made me think about my own children. Man, my daughter's 12. My son is 11. And I've been in this spiritual journey for about 5 years now. And I don't think I've really touched their heart with the Word of God. Yes, we live day in, day out. We pray about our meals. But I don't think I've really shown with my actions, really, what it is to be a Christian. So coming back, that was very impactful for me, because now I don't just want to talk the talk, I want to walk the walk. And so it's been weighing heavy on my heart that I really need to do something about my own children, because if I can go out to another country and really bless someone, why am I not doing this at home? So that really touched me. And now my 12-year-old daughter is here with me. We've been praying. They've actually taken the initiative to pray about many things. And as they pray more and more, their prayers are just getting more meaningful. And they're actually praying for people, which is something that's on them. which is amazing. Unfortunately, my wife and son couldn't be here because they're sick, and we didn't want anybody to get sick. We want people to come back, right? And then another thing was being bold and honest. We were having some marital issues with my wife. We were, as a matter of fact, almost on the verge of talking about divorce. And we felt like with this trip, it was just an awakening. Although we were out there helping people, ministering to people, and loving on people, we also felt the Holy Spirit working amongst us, between each other. Sadly enough, we kind of already had talked to our children about what was going to happen. And we were really considering parting ways. And with this trip, we came back, and there was really no reason why. We thought about it, like, what's the reason? There is no reason. So why don't we just work it out? And after talking to some people out there, sadly enough, there was a couple of leaders who were having some issues before. So now after going again, I learned that they were no longer together, a couple. And that really, really was really heavy on my heart. So I just kind of got together with the gentleman. We prayed. And again, these are just kind of like eye-opening events for me. Coming back and just thinking, first, I think the enemy is really trying out to get us, in my case, my family. And I always have this my philosophy is you got to put on the full armor of God. And I felt like I had taken it off, just left it there, and I had been walking the world just without it. And so after coming back, I really felt literally that I had to grab it, put it back on, and go out there and stand firm on the word of God. So for me, it was very, very, very impactful. I just felt like this trip was amazing. And now after talking to Pastor Fred and talking to a lot of people that are leaders there, I really got an opportunity to really understand what they do there. I don't know if you guys know about Danae, who's out there, and Dave, and just a lot of people out there. I feel like they give their life just to minister to these people. There was a situation where we were out in the dump, and Danae was complaining about her shoe. And Donna Lisa said, "Hey, what's wrong with your shoe? What's going on?" "Oh, I just have a hole." "Why don't you get new shoes?" Like, "I don't need to. I don't need to get new shoes." And to us, we're talking about it, and it just shows the love and the commitment, the dedication that these people are there. And I was just asking, trying to pick out her brain, so have you ever thought about coming back to the States and maybe doing something similar there? She said, "You know, there's been times when I just want to throw in the towel, but then I get reminded by an action, by something, I get reminded by the Holy Spirit that my job is not done here yet. When that time comes, God will let me know when." And to me, I just like, wow, hats off to those people. And I pray about them every day. And it's just amazing. And I got to understand by going the first year how I was kind of, I wouldn't say bitter, but just like, I don't know, I didn't have good thoughts towards it. I really got to understand, wow, God, you really, really work through people. And I am really glad that I went. And it was an amazing, amazing trip. So with that said, maybe we just might see what happens.
So this wonderful book we have, the Bible, it actually gives us some instructions of things that we can do. That we can do. It says that we can bind here on earth that which is bound in heaven. It says that we can loose here on earth what's been loosed in heaven. Yes? We know that what God has joined together, let not man put asunder. Would you extend your hand this way, please, and if you can agree with me in prayer. Father, for Jose and Donna Lisa, we bind their covenant here, even as you have bound it there. We would bind the spirit of divorce and the temptation of the easy way and the thought that we can just change our situation by going from person to person. We ask, Lord, that you would make the understanding of covenant more important. We rebuke the devil in their lives. We rebuke the temptation. We rebuke the thoughts that would go contrary to your word, O God. And we bless them with love. We ask that the Holy Spirit would draw them so close together in these next weeks that they will just be amazed at how much they want to be together. So thank you for this humble servant who comes to share his heart with us. We ask, O God, that you would enlarge your heart in him. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you. Yeah, God bless you.
Thank you.
Next victim. Brian.
Yeah, no, I've been coming to Day Spring my whole life. I've been to BCA, kindergarten through, graduation. I've been coming to Mexico for forever. I lost track of how many times. And every year, God just opens my heart to, new things or whatever. And at the very beginning, I was thrust into kind of getting out of my comfort zone, and it's crazy because I had no expectations that I would be like, oh yeah, my sister was like, you're going to be an empty man. I'm like, okay, I don't know what that is, but sure, God wants me to be an empty man, I'll be an empty man. And then it turned into being an empty man, went from empty man to being Not just that I'm empty. And then I was Samson in the Samson Delilah skit that we did. I was part of two families. I was Jesus this year. It's wide ranging. I don't know how I'm going to be used, but I know that it's going to be awesome. Good. Mexico, I fell in love for the first time I went. And now it's like, when's the next trip? That's all I can say about it. It's an awesome experience. If you've been thinking about it, you don't know how it's going to happen, pray about it, because God will open windows if that's what needs to happen. And yeah.
Thanks, Brian. I'm Dave. My son Avery went together on the trip. Something interesting about Mexico, I've been in the Navy and I've traveled around, seen a lot of different places. But something about Mazatlan, you have the wealthy tourist section of retired U.S. and Canadian people, and you have the tourist section with the tourist boats that come in. And so you have, you see this wealth. And then you see the whole service part, the middle class of the local people there who are serving in the tourist industry. And then you go out farther into the communities that we call the colonias, and you see the people who are barely getting by. There's not a lot of welfare there, and so people have to work, whether it's scrounging through the dump or making beads and trying to sell them on the beach, however they can scrape a living. And the thing that really touched my heart, as we were walking through one of the colonials, I think it was the first one, there was a lot of need. You could see the physical poverty. You could see the emotional poverty of the absent father, because you had generations of women trying to raise maybe not only their kids, but a cousin or somebody they found, or somebody who was a baby who was left on a doorstep with tuberculosis. You had just all these stories of this poverty and need that's there. And as I was thinking about and going to the Lord about this, I think, is that any different from our nation? There you can see the poverty and need, physical, and you can meet that need. But in the United States, we have so much wealth, we don't need God. We have a spiritual poverty in a lot of places where the people have so much and they're still not happy. Or they're so busy with their activities and distractions that they're still not satisfied. And so it makes me, it questioned me, I can serve in Mexico by flipping burgers, okay, my next job, but how do I serve here? How do I serve the people here? And I'm still praying about that. And I think the answer is one person at a time. The Lord blessed me that I could do the angry balloon demonstration with the little kids. And thank you, Jose. We were good partners together. And it engaged them. And it's like truth, whether it engages people. Your action of love expresses love, whether it's holding the door or picking up a toy for a kid or something big like helping someone with a car. Your demonstration, one act at a time, is how you live this out. Another thing that really blessed me, years ago, I was struggling, like Jose was talking about, in my life. And I went to the Lord and I said, God, what do I do? The church I'm going to seems to be kind of off. Work is hard. At home it's hard. What do I do, Lord? I want to escape. And that looks like the easy way out, to escape. And as I was praying about it, the Lord spoke into my heart and told me, he asked me, would you die for this person? I'm thinking, well, you did it. Well, if you help me, sure, I could do it. How about this person in the grocery store? Would you die for that person? Look at them. They look like they're drunk and stoned. Would you die for them? All right, God, you're stretching it now. That little cute kid you asked me to die for, that was easy. But now you're beginning to stretch it, Lord. And it began to dawn on me as he was asking this, like he asked Peter three times, would you die for them? Would you feed my lambs? That he was basically saying, if you would be willing to help these people, you need to go home and help your family. And he gave me a promise. He said, if you go home and you die to yourself and you live to serve your wife and your family, then I will bless you and raise you up to be an evangelist, and I'll send you to other countries. And the reason I'm so emotional is because he sent me to Mexico. And being an evangelist means you just speak the good news. You just speak the word of God. And I got to do the angry balloons. I got to give my testimony. And I got to preach the word of God twice. And it hit me. God is faithful. And he fulfilled those promises for me on this trip. And praise God.
You guys, it was the dream team. Every single member of the team could come up, and I feel like you would be blessed by their testimony. And God just moves, and he loves his people, and he loves us, and he wants us to be engaged, and he wants us to serve him. And what I learned a long time ago is that when we give him our yes, then he will open doors for us, and he will use our weaknesses for his glory. And he equips us and he qualifies us, because none of us are worthy. You can't attain worth any other way than just receiving it. It's already yours because of Jesus. And so we are going to be planning and preparing for our next mission trip to Mexico. There's a good chance it will be partially over spring break next year. just because of Easter and timing and such. And so be praying about if it's your year to sign up. I like 13 to 14, max of 15 people on the trip, but God's in charge of all of that. And so be praying about it. If you have any questions about the mission trip, you can talk to any one of our team members, and they will be happy to share with you and also talk to me. And just God bless you, and thank you for your faithfulness at Dayspring for years and years and years. I mean, this we lose track of it, and Terry in Mexico can't even keep track of the right amount of times. But I think Dayspring has been supporting a trip down to Mexico since about 2000 or 2001. I think 2001 was my first mission trip to Mexico. And yeah, so thank you. God bless you. I think though, Pastor, it's 11:45. So maybe I will close us in prayer, because you're in charge. It's Nacho Sunday today. We moved it from last week to this week. So there are pictures you can look. I have some strung in the fellowship area. And it's enjoy some nachos and some fellowship with us. We'd love to have you. All right. Well, dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this day. God, I do thank you for such a successful and vibrant mission trip to Mexico. Lord, I pray that you just pour out your spirit on those people. Lord, as our team is thinking about the faces that we saw and the people and the stories that we got to pray for and hear about, Lord, I pray, God, that you continue to move in power in those people's lives. Lord, that you just bless them, that you raise up leaders in the colonias and give them vision, Lord God, to serve their people down there. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to go and love and serve in your name. And it is for your glory that we do it. Lord, I pray you bless the rest of our day, Lord, our fellowship time. I pray you bless these nachos as best as you can. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You are dismissed.